Zeth Bio, the Ultimate 49ers Podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
Let's talk Niners to do it from NinersNation.com. David Ficilla joins us. David, let's start here. As you look back at the game from week two, the loss to the Carolina Panthers, obviously the you don't want to see this team give up 46 points to anybody, but at the same time, Carolina was probably coming in a bit angry after the Thursday night loss to start off the season. What's your overall takeaway to start with the Niners' loss to the Panthers?
Well, it was definitely not as much fun to watch as the previous week. The 49ers, you know, they showed some things. They did, you know, they did manage to come back. But if you look at the comeback and you look at the way they cut the lead to seven, they benefited tremendously from Panthers turnovers. The Panthers had the interception early in the game and then three fumbles later in the game. And fumble luck is something where, you know, once the ball bounces, it can go either any which way, and it's usually 50-50, and so you're gonna regress at times with that. But, you know, I think the big takeaway is the offense just has some serious issues they need to work through.
We'll get to the offense in a moment. Let's talk about the defense here for just a second. One of the concerns, obviously, was not being able to get off the field on the third down situations, allowing Carolina to convert on those third downs. And obviously, this is a really prolific offense. But at the same time, that's got to be something that the defensive squad wants to improve upon. They've got to get off the field when they get a team into that third down situation, don't they?
Oh, they do. I mean, you know, if you give up third downs, you're that's three more plays at least, barring a turnover. And you know, when your offense is already going three and out over and over again, you're gonna need to be as efficient as possible. And the big problem, I think, for the 49ers defense was they were technically and fundamentally unsound. We saw some issues with Navarro Bowman getting some tackles. Antoine Bethea gave up the huge touchdown pass to Greg Olsen. That came on a play where he looked the wrong way, hesitated, and Olsen blew by him. And if you look back to week one against the Rams, the defense played arguably a perfect game. They shut out Todd Gurley. They were fundamentally sound with their tackling. They were covering well. You know, all this stuff was happening, and we just did not see that against the Panthers.
On the offensive side of things, Gabbert goes for 243, a couple of touchdowns, ran for another one. What are the positives you're seeing out of the offense?
Well, I mean, Gabbert as a scrambler is certainly a positive. He's able to do some things there. The tight end position, Vance McDonald's showing some things. We saw him drop a ball after the touchdown pass, but you know, he's showing some improvement from a year ago. The offensive line and pass protection has been great. They have managed to keep Gabbert on his feet, and so pass protection has been a big plus.
Beyond that, we've watched the fact that Gabbert can scramble. We certainly saw that in the week one in the 28-0 win. But with the running game itself, what's working and what's not working when it comes to the Niners' backfield?
Well, I mean, the offensive line is having some issues in run blocking. They've been great in pass protection, but not so much in run blocking. And so there aren't as many holes. We're having issues with Chip Kelly's play calling at times. They're using this inside zone run that just, it's sort of like running into a wall over and over again. We saw that against the Panthers, and they weren't able to get anything going with Carlos Hyde. If that run game isn't going, you know, the pass game had two good drives, but when you can't get consistency from the run game, the offense is going to struggle.
Overall, when you look at what's happened so far in the season, I know that really, David, there were not a lot of expectations on the Niners, and yet when we look at the NFC West, we're seeing four teams at 1-1. We're seeing Seattle that just did not look good at all in week two. Overall, has expectations changed a little bit for this team, or is it still kind of where it was at the beginning of the year, which is understanding that this is kind of a rebuild and to not really expect the world out of this squad?
Well, for some fans have made it clear that expectations have changed and they think that the team is better than expected, and teams like the Seahawks are worse than expected. But, you know, if you look at the context of everything, I still think this is a team that the 49ers are a team that could go, you know, maybe 5-11, maybe 6-10, while still, you know, again, continuing this rebuilding process. Because yes, for instance, the Seahawks, yes, they're 1-1, they lost to the Rams, they look bad against the Dolphins, but, you know, last year they started out 0-2, and then they shut out the Bears in week 3 and ended up making the playoffs. So, you know, this is, I'm not going to take a lot from the first 2 weeks to say that Arizona and Seattle are anywhere near the 49ers and the Rams.
I know that post-game Torrey Smith talked about the fact that, you know, you mentioned it yourself, that, you know, there was the bit of the late comeback, getting the game within 7 points, that, you know, despite the lack of expectations on this team, that Torrey Smith indicated, you know, hey, we thought we were coming back. That's our belief, and that's how we're going into all of these games. So, you know, clearly Chip Kelly's at least got this team pointed in the right direction. Now it's a matter of getting the scoreboard to come around. Does it feel that way in terms of the vibe with the players?
I mean, players are optimistic. Navarro Bowman was equally optimistic, saying, you know, it was just a few missed opportunities and that the team is showing improvement, and that's good. You know, you need a team that's optimistic. At the same time, they need to recognize, you know, that there are serious issues that need to be addressed. And so, you know, it's a matter of recognizing that without, you know, without losing hope that the season can turn into something.
Is there something that you can see? I mean, we just talked about the running game a minute ago and the fact that it does need to get going. It does need to be there to help out Blaine Gabbert and to help out overall on the offense. But can you pinpoint one thing, David, that's keeping the running game from getting going?
Probably the lack of a passing game. The lack of a consistent passing game.
In terms of back, trying to, one, helping out the other, that they're just able to stack the box? Is that basically what is going to be seen until somebody proves otherwise?
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, as long as Gabbert is inconsistent, which he is, you know, he made some big plays yesterday. He's made some big third down conversions. But until he's doing that regularly and with some level of consistency, defenses are – there's no reason for defenses to not stack the box, or at least not, you know, not weigh a little more towards stopping the run than stopping the pass.
For you, David, as you get ready for week 3 coming up Sunday afternoon, the game on the road against the Seahawks, I would imagine that if you and I had the discussion, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you might have a different feeling. But now that you've seen the Seahawks through the first 2 weeks, see them struggle against Miami and obviously losing to the Rams, has it changed your expectations for the game this Sunday?
I think their injuries more than anything have changed my expectations a little. I do think the 49ers can potentially hang in this. You know, I'm not trying to get my hopes up, but at the same time, you know, with Russell Wilson dealing with a high ankle sprain, Doug Baldwin has a knee issue that he's getting looked at. Thomas Rawls has a leg contusion. You know, when you're that banged up and you're going to be facing a defense, the 49ers defense has a lot of talent and improving. That can work in the 49ers favor.
Got a score prediction for me, David?
I'm going to go something along the lines of like 20-10 or, you know, something kind of like that.
All right. From Niners Nation.
Seahawks winning.
There we go. From NinersNation.com. Make sure you're checking out all their coverage that they've got on the site. David Ficilla joins us. David, really appreciate the time. Thank you.
My pleasure.
There goes David. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of 6 or 7 different coordinators, therefore 6 or 7 basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got two games under Carson Wentz belt and two wins. Granted, one against Chicago, one against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule maker certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm. In the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. They ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. Obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, that's Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl run. So, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game, but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know, and when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good. But they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball particularly well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. And the fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and then throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that it goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense. Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slim down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. It's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense. Control the clock a little bit more and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and of course 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top 10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top 10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving corps with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out DealScore that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next. We'll be right back.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in Overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, they were great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, you know, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, you know, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. You know, I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrelle Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrelle Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right. Final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Vrentas from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Vrentas, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.